Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, in the first hour, the topic, the history of the Nation of Islam, part 4. The rebirth of the Nation of Islam and the rise of the first fruit of them that slept. In the first hour, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with one of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's top commanders of the Fruit of Islam. Student Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad is in queue tonight. Brother Commander will give us the history of the rebirth and rise of the Nation of Islam and the Fruit of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the second hour, we will take an analytical look into the divine message, the time, and what must be done, part 20, with our guest at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Student Assistant Minister David Muhammad from Milwaukee, Attorney Kenneth Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia, and former State Captain Ray Muhammad, who now resides here in Atlanta, Georgia. The panel will take a look into and discuss this divine message by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, boots on the ground, we will salute the soldiers, the Fruit of Islam, who are in the community with the Final Call newspaper, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in communities across America. So sit back, get your questions ready, call in. Get your comments ready. Buckle up. Let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I greet the listening audience tonight with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. We want to first give a special thanks to Dr. Abdul Akbar Muhammad, the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, for giving us this topic of the history of the Nation of Islam. He told us to go ahead and get this history and get it recorded. And I'm so glad that I did, because there was much I didn't know about the history of the Nation of Islam. And I want to thank the legendary Abdul Rahman Muhammad, who came in with part 2 with his book, I Walked with the Great Ones, who talked about what it was like to soldier under the Supreme Captain Raymond Sharif and his regional captain, Yusuf Shah, and what the soldiers were like in the 1950s and 1960s, and how the soldiers were up to a million paper sales a week in the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, New York leading with 100,000. Muhammad Speaks a week. Then we came and we thank our brother pioneer student minister Abdul Bia Muhammad, who came on last week and did part three and dealt with his history in the field ministry of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and talked about the Monroe, Louisiana, the battle between the Muslims and the police force in Monroe, Louisiana. But tonight, we have a special guest on for part four of the history of the Nation of Islam, the rebirth of the Nation of Islam, and the rise of the first fruit of them that slept is our topic tonight. And with us tonight is a brother, a trainer of men, CEO of the Peacekeepers. He is present for peace tonight. It is our brother, student, Captain Emeritus, Brother Dennis Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Well, alaykum salam, dear brother. How you doing, Brother Jihad?
Oh, sir, I'm doing fine by the grace of Almighty God, Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. How are you tonight, sir?
Brother, I thank Almighty God, Allah, also for his appearing and coming in person in the name of Master Farad Muhammad. And I thank him for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whose teachings and foundations that we stand on. And we thank him for the Most Honorable Minister Farrakhan, who is truly our divine representative, guide in our midst today. So I'm too thankful too, my dear brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Captain, tonight I want to talk about, let's take it from the history of 1977, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan rose. Can you take us back from that period of what took place, what transpired, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan decided to rebuild the work of our father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Well, you know, dear brother, when it goes to 1977, I can only bear witness of what he said.
Yes, sir.
How he started in 1977. I got with the Honorable Minister Farrakhan in 1978. I do remember, dear brother, that he, of course, told us the story how he was in Los Angeles getting ready to do some work with the great actor Brock Peters. And I think the minister said he was going back into the music career again. And, of course, we know that our dear brother, Brother Minister Jibril, played a major role in reaching out to the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and putting him on his divine mission and journey. We bear witness that Brother Minister Jibril is truly an angel sent from God. It was him who gave the minister the words, the books to read, that sent the minister, as he told us, into a hotel room. There for 3 days, he stuck to himself as he was reading the books that was given to him by Brother Jibril. And when he came out of that hotel room, according to what he said, after 3 days of prayer, reading, and coming into the reality that he said himself, that he, you know, did exactly what the Bible said that Peter would do. He denied the Christ. And he fulfilled what the Bible said Peter would do. That one day when he would go away from him, Jesus said, I would pray for you, that you would come back to me, and that you would go and strengthen your brothers, your brethren. And then from there, the minister mentioned Paul's journey to Damascus and how he was blinded, and that a man came and removed the scales off his eyes. And that's what he said to Brother Jibril when he surfaced out of that 3 day of in that hotel room. He said, Brother, your surgery was a success, and you have removed the scales off of my eyes. And he had made it up in his mind when he came out of that room that he was going to rebuild the works and the Nation of Islam and the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad or die trying. And, of course, you know the story that the first one that he seemed to would work and accept to work with him was our dear brother Wyatt. And from that time, the minister started coming off the West Coast. He was hitting little venues and going to certain places. And, of course, I was able to meet the Honorable Minister Farrakhan in 1978. He came to Columbus, Ohio, to speak at Ohio State University. And, of course, in 1978, dear brother, you know, the nation was in full swing under the Imam Wahdi Muhammad. And there was no such thing as a Nation of Islam. There was no such thing as brothers wearing bow ties. There was no such thing called the Fruit of Islam or MGT. And so to see the Honorable Minister Farrakhan in 1978 with a bow tie on, and to see a brother standing next beside him who is the late, great Brother Sterling, who I would always honor and respect and love. He was standing with the minister, and Brother Sterling had that old Muslim look. And I remember as I went to hear the minister, I heard he was coming. I was not with the imam. I had left the imam, and I was like many of the Muslims, dear brother, that I would rather go back to the street and live the life that I condemned than to live the life that he was trying to introduce to us. So the scripture was absolutely right that as the sow clings back to the mud, the dog returned back to its vomit. And we went back and cleaned back to the filthy life that Mr. Muhammad had cleaned us up and took us out of. I went back to it. And then I began to go against everything I used to preach. And so being a drug dealer, went back to the drug world. I was sitting in the audience. And when I heard that the minister was coming to speak, the word in the street was among those that was with the imam, Farrakhan is teaching that darkness. But I've always loved the minister. I live here in Columbus, Ohio. His daughter, Sister Donna, got married to my minister at the time when I came in the nation in 1970. Your brother Wali Muhammad was the minister here, who was the son-in-law of Minister Farrakhan, husband of Donna Farrakhan. And so when she got married to the minister here, she was our first lady, Sister Donna. And so the minister would come to Columbus to visit his daughter, and I was a young lieutenant under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I would be so happy to go with the captain to pick up Brother Minister Farrakhan from the airport, and I've just always loved the minister. So when I heard he was speaking, I just had to go hear him. And dear brother, that man delivered a message that most certainly opened up my eyes. And his message, I never will forget. His message was, Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying to us was that the serpent made an interpretation of God's orders. And it was the serpent's interpretation of God's orders that brought down the fall of Adam and Eve. He didn't have to say who the serpent was. Those of us, we read between the lines. But you could see as the minister was talking, he was looking in the audience for all the old Muslims. And I tell you, to this day, I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's voice as clear as you listening to mine. And I sat straight up in that seat in that auditorium, and I know what I heard come out that man's mouth. But I know that the scripture says, my sheep knows my voice. And when I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's voice come out that man's mouth, I made it up in my mind that night. And I'm going back home to Elijah. And that was not too long. Me and the minister, who's the student minister in Columbus, Ohio, today, Minister Donnell, myself, and a brother by the name of Brother Lance, we went to visit the Honorable Minister Farrakhan in his home on Damien, on 95th Street and Damien. And he asked us, it was during Ramadan, and it was strange because the imam had took us from observing Ramadan in December, and this was in the month of December, and the minister offered us something to drink, and he said, myself, dear brothers, I'm observing Ramadan. And it was strange because we have been away from Elijah Muhammad, all of Elijah Muhammad's teaching, for 3 years. So Ramadan in December, we didn't do that no more. And I said to myself in my mind, man, he's going back to the original teachings. And then he asked us, sitting there, me, Minister Donnell, and Brother Lance, he said, brothers, I would like to know, would you help me to rebuild the works of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our father? And we said quickly, yes, sir. And then he said, are you willing to live the law that he taught us? And we said, yes, sir. And he said, all praise is due to Allah. And we signed the Form 4. And it was quickly after that the minister came to Columbus, Ohio. He was going to a lot of the colleges. And, of course, we were there to pick him up. There wasn't them but a few brothers at the time. There wasn't no FOI. We were calling ourselves by the name that we chosen by the imam. Brother Akbar was called Aziz. Brother Khalid's name was Brother Rasadin. Brother Wahid's name was Jafar. We had a brother in with the captain named Gaddafi. So we had all these names. So the minister. Well, we had those names. But anyway, the minister officially asked us, brother, are you willing to go back to the names and wait till the Honorable Elijah Muhammad give us a name like he promised that Allah would do on his coming? And so we gave back the names. So Brother Khalid went back to Brother Harold. Brother Aziz went back. I forgot what brother, I think it was James.
Brother Larry.
All of us went back to all of us. So the good thing about it, I didn't have one of them long names. I was still Dennis. But yes, I did take on the last name. It was I didn't know how powerful the last name was. I did take on the name Mahdi. So anyway, meanwhile back at the ranch, we did go back. But I remember in the early days, dear brother, there was hardly any FOI to protect the minister. But there were so many of the police officers who were members of the Black Police Officers Association under Brother Ron Hampton and Brother Howard Estoffo in Chicago, Brother Stephen Jennings and the Sentinel Police in Ohio. So they were there to pick up the slack because we had no FOI back in the day. These were the men that was there protecting the Honorable Minister Farrakhan because there was no fruit of Islam. And I remember as I was moving around in Ohio, I would come in contact with many of these brothers who was willing to blow somebody's brains out for the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. And we was moving the minister in our personal vehicle. Back in the day, the minister didn't fly first class. He was smoking on the planes back in the day. And the poor leader would be on the plane. One time, we flew the minister into Columbus, Ohio. Minister Donnell's father owned a private single-engine plane. And we pulled the daggone thing out the hangar. And that man went to Chicago, take the minister up in that plane, brought him to Columbus, Ohio. The minister said that was the roughest, scariest ride he ever had in the plane. And Minister Donnell's father smoked, so the minister had to suffer while he flying in his plane in the single engine with this man. He's the minister's co-pilot. And, I mean, this is back in the day, and I was driving the minister in my car. you know, with Joshua. At the time, it was Joshua that was with the minister everywhere, and we would be everywhere, man, with Joshua and the minister. And let me tell you something, man. The minister's earliest speeches, his earliest speeches, they was blazing.
Yes,
I
sir.
Mean, the minister was ripping it. I'll never forget one particular time. I'm going to tell you how the minister's attitude was. He was in Dayton, Ohio, and they invited the minister and to speak, and, of course, they had these kids singing, God bless America. And, you know, the minister, you know, everybody, the principal, whoever, the minister speaking. And so when the minister went up to the podium, he says, I never forget. He said, y'all say God bless America, huh? He said, I say, God damn America. And he hit the podium. I said, oh, snap. And the minister ripped. I mean, in the early days. Now, you have to understand, dear brother, that the imam sent out a decree that he was not going to let the Honorable Minister Farrakhan reestablish the teachings, especially in Chicago. I'm going to say that again, especially in Chicago.
Yes.
So everywhere we were moving the minister, we was clashing with the imam's followers. I mean physical clashes.
Yes, sir.
We had the great strong Brother Kareem in New York City.
Yes.
Come out of Plainfield. New York was stronger than Red Devil Live with the double crossbones.
Come on.
I mean, when you see New York under Brother Kareem, I mean, you could tell New Yorker. New York had a signature dress. Red bow ties, blue or black suits, and they had them black bus driver shoes. I'm laughing so that was the first thing I said I was going to break up when I came as the East Coast Weasel captain in New York. I was going to break that dress. That was a cookie cutter dress. But because
yes,
I had been rolling with the baddest man on the planet, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, you know, that man set the trend for dressing. And
yes,
we
sir.
Didn't dress like that. You know, so we came to New York bringing that New York swagger. You know, where you think they got the Gators and the Lizards and the Crocs, you know? We kind of stepped up New York. We stepped up New York game a little bit because that's the way the minister dressed. So New York began to start seeing a different look. But nevertheless, get back to the point. So anyway, so Brother Farrakhan,
Supreme Captain.
God be pleased with our brother who was our first Supreme Captain.
Yes, sir.
I remember we were in St. Louis. Brother at the time was named, who was the captain, name was Captain Eddie. Brother Akbar was in charge of St. Louis. Brother Akbar had a nice crew in St. Louis. And we were at, with the Seville Auditorium. I never forget, in St. Louis. And Brother Farrakhan had just came back and got with the minister. And he pulled us to the side, me, Brother Eddie, and there was a brother who was under John Muhammad in Detroit. I can't remember my brother, but he was in charge of the brothers in Detroit. This is real early. And he said that the minister's thinking about making him the Supreme Captain. Which was, dear brother, a heck of a choice, because Brother Farrakhan had a history. When the imam became the imam, he scooped up Brother Farrakhan to be in charge of an organization or his program called BAT, which represents Blight Arrest something. And it wasn't a Supreme Captain role, but he was in a very military role. But because Brother Farrakhan had history of putting work in, you know, I thought, oh, wow. Man, we got the right man at the right time.
Right.
Between 78, 79, I decided in 1979 to move to Chicago. The threats was getting more imminent. You know, it was becoming more apparent that they wanted to kill the minister. We were fighting almost every week in one city or another. So I said, I'm moving to Chicago to be with the boss.
Yes,
if somebody was going to fight, we're going to fight. We're going to lay it down. I went and moved to Chicago, and by the grace of God, I was made Assistant Supreme Captain under Theron. Brother Wyatt was Assistant Supreme Captain at first, but the minister shipped Brother Wyatt to become National Secretary. And so we were there in Chicago in 1980, and let me tell you, if I don't say nothing else in my life, if there was any time that Brother Dennis got a history of fighting, I can't tell you how many fights we stayed in Chicago. We looked like, brother, we was battling every day. And when the minister would have a Savior's Day in 1980, 81, rebirth of the nation, we plastered Chicago with so many flyers. It was colder than all our doors. Before you could put the flyer up, it was frozen. That's how cold it was, brother. The flyers, the posters of the minister were so beautiful, you didn't even want to put them up. You really wanted to just put them in your home. But because everywhere we would go, they would come, some of those hypocrites would come behind and tear them down. So we had a bat squad.
Come on.
So every time we put it up, we had a crew rolling. And if we catch you trying to take one down, the rest is history. But every day we was battling, and the minister did the rebirth of the nation, and man, that was it. That was the beginning of letting the world know the Nation of Islam was back. In 1981, Los Angeles under Brother Malik, our dear brother who was the captain under Brother Khalid, he was the first one to introduce drilling in the form that set the stage for drilling to this day.
That's right.
Los Angeles, California did a drill competition that Savior's Day that took drilling on a whole nother level, and to this day, nobody have reached the pinnacle of what Brother Malik had done when he brought those soldiers out to drill. I'm telling you what I know. And I remember sitting with Brother Theron, the Supreme Captain at the time, when they was drilling, man, I said, look at this, and Brother Malik did his thing. And that's how everybody, but brother, it was a beautiful beginning. It was a rough beginning. And we established the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister respected Chicago, and we had to do it the old-fashioned way. We had to earn it. And we were cowards back in the day, brother. You didn't abandon your post back in the day. To leave your post back in the day, man, meant you was a traitor. I never forget taking some soldiers up to the Savior's Day from Columbus, Ohio, as I was the captain in Columbus. I said to them soldiers, I said, let me tell you something. You better die on your post. Don't you abandon your post. Stay on your post. And I'll never forget the little young brothers. I must have put it in their head so strong that on our way back from Savior's Day, one of the brothers was in the car, and he had fell asleep. And while we was driving, he jumped up and said, hold on. And everybody looked at him. And we said, well, what's wrong with you, brother? He said, oh, man, I was dreaming there, man, that somebody was trying to come through the door of my post. And in his sleep, he was defending the minister. But that's the way we were. We would go in, dear Brother Jihad, in Chicago. And we would take up a hotel room, 6, 7, 8 brothers deep in one room. And you couldn't find a greater love than you would find one Savior's Day. That was one Savior's Day. Our brother Rasul got arrested. Someone had broke into the Muslims' hotel rooms, stole some Muslims' jewelry. Broke and took some of our recording equipment. Why did you do that in a hotel on Savior's Day? Lord have mercy. We turned the hotel upside down. every housekeeper, every janitor was interrogated until they told us who took our stuff. And it's sad to say the tactics was somewhat barbaric, brother, and brutal. But God blessed us. We built the Nation of Islam, and as we move it up through the years, 1982, we had got drunk with titles and positions. The minister said he was looking at my head while me and Brother Theron was watching the drill competition, and the minister said we were so puffed up with pride that the minister said these men are dying with these titles and positions. This is what he told me. Because he looked at the video and he said, Brother Dennis, looking at your head with you and Theron sitting there. Because when Theron would walk Savior's Day, he would have at least 100 men flanking him. At least 100 men. It was,
yes,
it was unbelievable. So the minister in 1982 asked all of us to give up our titles. And we all gave up our titles. And when Brother Theron was no longer the Supreme Captain, he really had a problem. He really had a problem with giving up the Supreme Captain title because he told me personally himself. And when he told me, he used these words, between me and you, brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would never would have taken Raymond Sharif's title. And I said, between me and you and the minister. And I couldn't wait to go snitch. I ran right quick to the minister's house and told him what brother had said. Because I knew he gave the impression that he was with the minister, but in reality, he wasn't. And so when the minister took titles, we got back humble. There wasn't no Supreme Captain. And then our dear brother, Brother Frank, became the interim. And when Brother Frank became the interim, then Brother Collins became the Minister of Defense. And many knew that when Collins became, it wasn't called the Supreme Captain, it was called the Minister of Defense. And then the biggest accomplishment we made under Brother Collins as a Minister Finch was Madison Square Garden. And
yes,
when he did Madison Square Garden, you know, it was unbelievable. But before that, of course, you know, I'm a little skipping in my memory, but you remember in 1984.
Yeah, can we go back just one step, because in 83, I think Jesse Jackson decided he wanted to
run for the presidency.
And the minister decided. Can you go through that history lesson and then go on to Brother Collins?
Yes. In 1983, of course.
Yes, sir.
When that, and there you go. Thank you. But when I went to Square Garden, I had to go back because I knew what started Madison Square Garden. But
right.
In 1983-84, Jesse announced that he was going to run for the President of the United States. Everybody knew that the Secret Service would not give Jesse Secret Service. There was threats on Jesse's life, so the minister ordered all FOI to give Jesse security. So as Jesse was moving around the country, we, the Fruit of Islam, was popping up, securing him. And eventually, of course, you know they gave Reverend Jackson eventually Secret Service, but we didn't stop securing. That's when the Secret Service began to realize the great discipline and the power of the Fruit of Islam. They didn't know nothing about us on that level until we was running elbow to elbow with them on Jesse's campaign trail. I never forget that the minister was to meet Reverend Jackson in Cleveland. And we were in upstate New York, and we was trying to get to Cleveland so that the minister could meet with Jesse, and we got caught in a snowstorm. The minister's in my car. We driving, but we caught in a snowstorm, and they keep telling us, you can't go this route, go this route. So I never forget. And we pulled up. We on the highway. It was bumper to bumper. And I seen a state trooper. I get out the car. I go to the state trooper. I come back and I get in the car. The state trooper turned on his lights. And I speed up behind him. We follow him. So the minister said, brother, what did you just do? I said, well, brother minister, I just told the trooper that you, this is Minister Farrakhan, and he's got to be with the president running elect, Jesse Jackson, in Cleveland, and then we don't, and he said, then follow me. And the minister looked at me, and then the minister said, well, then keep up with him, brother. He's getting in ahead of us. Keep up with him. And we was flying, and I was laughing because the minister said, keep up with him, brother. Then keep up with him. And we was moving the minister, and he was received, and the minister was loved by many, and this was the minister coming out into the public. Never did they know as much white people know about Minister Farrakhan until he got with Reverend Jackson. Well, of course, they went to attack Reverend Jackson, and at Reverend Jackson, when they went to attack him, the minister went to Reverend Jackson's defense. And when the minister spoke, I was there. It was in Albany, New York. I never forget, because two things took place that day in Albany, New York. One, he got cussed out by Betty Shabazz. And second, it was that day that the minister delivered the warning to the Jews about we can lose an election. Mm-hmm. But we cannot lose a Jesse Jackson. And to harm him would be the last one you would ever harm. And so that threat caused them to come after the minister. And when they came after the minister took homage. And, of course, they called the minister the new Adolf Hitler. And when they called the minister that, the minister came back in his speech. And the minister in his speech said, okay, you call me Hitler. And everybody know the history where the minister said, yeah, Hitler was great, but Hitler was wickedly great. And then the minister went on and talked about, you know, how you take the good name of Jesus and use it as a shield to hide your dirty religion. Next thing after that, dear brothers, y'all know, it was all throughout the news. Farrakhan called Judaism a gutter religion. Farrakhan's pal Hale. Now, Farrakhan, yeah, pal Hale's Hitler. And, of course, what got the minister in the fight to defend him, because Jesse made a statement where he called the Jews Heimetown, and the minister came to defend Jesse. Now, the rest is history, meaning that it was there that they got on our trail. We went to speak. The minister went to speak in Syracuse, New York. Syracuse, New York was the biggest to this day, the biggest protest of Jews that we ever had. When he went to speak at Syracuse, New York University, they had gathered in such large numbers that the agreement was that they were not to be in a certain area where the minister was coming. I remember I'm there. I was in Buffalo, New York. So when we went down to there, now Brother Frank at that time was the interim supreme captain. And so when we brought the minister through the back of Syracuse door, they broke the protest line and ran around the back where the minister car and entourage was. When they broke to do that, the minister had not got out the car yet. When they broke and we seen that crowd, I never forget Brother Frank said, fruit, and looked like 1,000 FOI came from whatever post they were. And they created a line, and the horses that the police was on seen the fruit, and the fruit scared the horses. And the horses ran up, and a couple police came off the horse. The eyes in the Jews, when they seen the fruit, running toward them, backed them up. We built a line like a daggone wolf. And the minister walked through that line into that building. And it was the greatest display of FOI God power that I have ever witnessed. And the minister tell you that story today. The horses seen the fruit and reared up and scared the horses, and the police fell off the horse. I'm saying then, of course, from there, we was on the move and on the battle with the Jewish community. And then when the minister went into New York at Madison Square Garden, at the time, the mayor I forgot that old dude's name.
Koch. Mayor Koch? Mayor Koch.
Yeah, Ed Koch. And I
Ed
mean,
Koch.
He was railing on the minister. He did it. And boy, our people came out to Madison Square Garden in a number that I'll never forget. If there's any time, dear brother, that I thought that we, the FOI, who was always in charge, lost control, it was at Madison Square Garden. The people's desire to hear the minister was so overwhelming that we didn't have enough manpower to hold them back. And I never forget, as God, Brother Collie was the Minister of Defense. He came out, had this beautiful FOI uniform on with this nice captain's hat, and he came out trying to back the people out. The people crowded him, tore all his gold buttons off his coat. We had to pull him back in. And, I mean, I looked out, and I seen this woman like she was being smashed up against the window. I said, oh, my God. Then all of a sudden, man, the pressure of the crowd pushed into the glass, and the glass shattered, sounded like a bomb went off. Pow! And the people, I had to tell the truth, back up, soldier, just back up, let them in. We couldn't search them no more. They come in, brother, spitting glass out their mouth, talking about we coming in here for our car, and we just backed up, brother, and we filled the Madison Square Garden to the rim. They were sitting in the aisles. That's how packed the garden was. And then I'm getting off on the elevator, getting ready to take, and I mean, I got off on the wrong floor. So when the guy on the elevator, I got off, and then he opened up the door, and I wasn't going to get off, and he said, wrong floor, but I seen smoke. I said, wait a minute, let me off on this floor. I get off, and God is my witness, as I kept going towards this particular area with the smoke, my heart started racing. And the closer I got, I said, oh, Allah, it's a fire. I seen the fire, so help me God. When I seen the fire, somebody had took a locker, they took some clothes that was in the locker. I could see the uniforms burning. I run, go get Brother Sterling some fruit, told him, come on with me. Brother Sterling, being a fireman, we grabbed the water hose. I never forget, I hurt my finger trying to break the hose off, and he was extinguishing the fire. Well, in the meantime, the alarm went off. But you couldn't hear the alarm in the audience. You could hear it in the backstage where the minister was at. Here comes the fire department. Brother Leonard told the fire department, don't you come with your sirens blazing, because what they wanted to do, they wanted to create a panic. They wanted somebody to holler, fire. And the people was already nervous. And, man, it would have been mayhem and chaos. But by the grace of God, me getting off on the wrong floor, it wasn't the wrong floor, getting off on the right floor, we was able to distinguish it before the fire department got there. And God bless us. The people never smelt the smoke. It never got past the stage into the audience. Never got past. And the minister did not even know there was a fire. And God blessed us with a victory. But they were so hateful.
Did our brother get... Did we lose him, Brother Rafi? Brother Rafi?
I still see him on the board, sir. I don't know what happened.
Oh, let's give him a minute. Maybe
his mic is still open.
His mic is still open?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That was something there. Let's see if he can... Let's see what happened.
Oh, my goodness, brother. Well, let's see. I'm trying to make it happen now for him. All right. Well, I think our brother might have gotten lost on that one. And his mic is open, but obviously his line got disconnected. Oh, boy, that was some story, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry he got disconnected like that. And inshallah, maybe he can get back in the line. And because we had so much more we wanted to cover before the top of the hour. And so let's, Brother Rafi, let's go ahead and do this and see if we can get him back. But let's go ahead right now. And let's go ahead and give a salute to the soldiers who have been helping in the boots on the ground. And while our brother is trying to get his way back in. Well, we want to give a salute to the soldiers of the Fruit of Islam who are in the communities across America with the Final Call News. Let's go down to Richmond, Virginia. That's right. The soldiers in Richmond are in the community with the Final Call newspaper. Shout out, soldiers in Richmond. Keep up the good work. Plainfield, New Jersey. That's right. Soldiers in Plainfield are in the community with the Final Call News. Keep up the good work, Plainfield. Denver, Colorado. Denver, the soldiers of Denver are out with the Final Call News. And they are not to be denied this week. Shout out, Denver. Keep up the good work. Seattle, Washington State. And the soldiers of Seattle, Washington are in the community with the Final Call News. Keep up the good work, Seattle. Columbia, South Carolina. Yes, the soldiers in Columbia, South Carolina are out on the front line with the Final Call News. Shout out, soldiers. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's right. Soldiers in Milwaukee. And the soldiers in Milwaukee got their boots on the ground as they're out in the community with the Final Call News. Shout out, soldiers. This is a salute to all the soldiers across America who are taking the Final Call News to the community, taking them to our people, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to seek and to save that which is lost, Miami, Florida. That's right, soldiers in Miami, and the soldiers in Miami are not to be denied this week as they're in the community with the Final Call News. Brooklyn, New York. The mighty soldiers of Brooklyn, New York are in the community with the Final Call News. Shout out, Brooklyn. Houston, Texas. Yes, soldiers in Houston and the mighty soldiers of Houston, the Fruit of Islam, are in the community with the Final Call News. Our number one this week goes to the mighty Muhammad Smiles 27, Los Angeles, California. The mighty Western region has got their boots on the ground. The soldiers, fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern time. Shout out, soldiers, and keep up the good work, Los Angeles. We see you. We want to give a special shout out to Belize, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Africa, Australia. Shout out to you all. And thank you for tuning in. May Allah bless you all. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir, Brother Rafi, is our brother back on the line?
Yes, sir. Beloved, he is back on the line, sir.
All right, sir. Let's get right back to you, Cap. I feel like I covered some space for you.
Okay, but I forgot where I was at.
Well, you was in Saratoga. You was in New York, right, at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
And that whole episode that took place in the garden with the fire department and so forth and so on, and how the minister didn't really know what was going on behind him.
Okay.
In that episode, yes, sir.
Did you hear me talk about from there? We did the great Georgia Dome, where we packed the Georgia Dome, the great history of the great Georgia Dome, where we had more people in the Georgia Dome than they had in the World Series. We had great victories from that point on. The minister packed every venue in Los Angeles. He packed every venue. Everywhere he went, the minister was drawing 20,000, 25,000, 30,000. And this is way before the T.D. Jakes was getting their little 25,000. The minister was getting that in some change. In Washington, D.C., our great brother, Minister Abdul Sharif, did something that was unprecedented. He had the minister back-to-back 2 days, 2 nights in a row in Washington, D.C. We packed the places in Baltimore, Maryland. Everywhere the minister would pick, it was over. I mean, it would sell out every time. And, I mean, so, brother, the minister had nonstop, had did this work of rebuilding the nation, and I'm so thankful to Allah to be a part of this great history.
Before you go, we got about 10 minutes left. I would like, sir, for you to take this time and talk to the listeners tonight about the vision and what brought about the Million Man March and all that entailed, because that happened under your command when you were over the eastern region as the captain. And so could you give us a history lesson on how that whole thing occurred and what was all the intakings that took place to make that march a success in history of 1995?
Well, you know, the minister had started speaking about the stop the killing, the violence that was seen to be growing around the country. And the minister had an all men's only meeting in New York at the 369 Armory. And there, it was there at that Armory, man, we packed it with 12,000. The place, I think we packed it with 15. The place only held 12. And we had to turn at least about 10,000 away because the line went all the way across the Third Avenue Bridge, which took you into Bronx, and we just couldn't get no more in there. And when the minister went in there and he spoke that day, my God, man, there were so many men. And it was that inspiration of seeing all those men that the words left the mouth of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan that he wanted to take a million men to Washington, D.C. And from that day, the minister didn't stop to have men-only meetings to make sure that we would have a million men. And brother, to God's truth, we worked. We worked, man. The minister worked, man. We went up and down this country having men-only meetings, the biggest men's-only meeting to date, the biggest to date that the minister had was in Houston, Texas. And, man, so when it came to the Million Man March, if you would have told me that I thought a million men, I didn't believe it. But brother, God bless us with two. It was the most awesome, wonderful experience in my life. And when the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, dear brother, he never seen that crowd. We brought the minister in the Capitol through the back way. And so one of those congressmen or senators, he had a little office up there in them with them little windows at in that dome. And he said, "Do you think Minister Farrakhan want to come and see?" So we, Brother Sharif said, "Brother Minister, do you want to see?" And the minister said, "Yes." And brother, we took the boss up into that dome, man. And man, when that dude opened up that little window and the boss looked out, the minister looked out, and he seen men as far as the eye
could see. I'm standing next beside him. I heard the minister out of my own mouth say, to God be the glory. You know, and I mean, listen, man, it was a touching experience. And then we walked to my greatest moment, man, was walking the boss, the minister, down those Capitol steps. You forgive me, because the minister was standing. So we just, we was on the team. That's how we, he was that and is that. We call it the
yes,
bosses
sir.
Of all bosses. But, you know, when we walked the minister down the Capitol steps, man, and I mean, I could almost cry every time I think about the victory that God gave that man. Because, you know, they beat the minister up in the press, man, for
yes,
almost 6 months to a year. And, brother, look here, man, if it was me, Brother Jihad, if I had seen a million, if I had called a million man, I would have told them million man, kill everything in sight that's not right. But, of course, God didn't choose me. So that's why God didn't choose me. But the boss, the minister, never used those seconds and moments to talk about what they said to him. He did not waste a second of his speech talking about his distractors. That is a divine man. And then when he met his health challenges, when the minister met his health challenges, that was a very dark period for us, because many of us may have thought that, man, that we may lose the leader, but if we didn't think we were losing, the pain and suffering that some of us witnessed, we couldn't bear to see the minister suffer the way he suffered. But our God brought that man through 3 times.
Yes, sir.
And so to see him at 80 years old, Brother Jihad, going hard in the paint.
Yes, sir.
Looking good, stepping good. How could we sit down in this moment and in this hour? How could we? How could we? So that man is my life. And as long as he goes inside, we're going to go down, brother. We're going down together. I just can't see. I just can't see.
Yes, sir.
All
this world
without that man.
Due to Allah. Yes, sir.
I can't see
yes,
this
sir.
World without him.
Wow. Wow. Brother Captain, that was some history lesson in that period of time, brother, that you took us from 77, 78 on up to that time period where the minister took ill and God brought him back 3 times. That was some history, and you played a major part in the security and the training of the fruit, which we didn't get a chance to talk about tonight, but the military, to be able to walk behind a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it took some mighty soldiers, disciplined and trained, to be able to handle that. And, brother, you were one of the major captains, brother, that really made men for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to make a lot of these events, the security, the training of the men, being able to hold posts for hours and days at a time, that came from good training from brothers like yourself and Brother Sterling and many others, Dr. Khalid, Abdul Muhammad, Brother Theron, Brother Frank, Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad. You all are to be commended, and I salute you, sir, for being one of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's top commanders in our history in the Nation of Islam. And, brother, I want
all
to thank you, sir.
Due to Allah.
Yes,
all
sir.
All praises due to Allah. And if it wasn't for men like Brother Rahman, Brother Bia, Brother Akbar, Brother Lucius, and all of the great, great men before me, the Brother Sharifs, Raymond Sharifs, if it was not for these great men, there would not be a Brother Dennis. There wouldn't be a soldier, because these were the men that held it down that we now can have something to fight for. It's our turn, Brother Jihad. The baton is in our hand, and we're going to hand it over to the young brothers today that's in the ranks. And don't drop it. We fought to get it back, man. We fought like hell to get our nation back. Don't blow this moment, man. Many good Muslims died to get us where we at. We can't fail them, man. We can't fail them. We should be making our streets safe. It should be anywhere there's FOI. There shouldn't be no crime and violence if there's an FOI in that city or on that block. There shouldn't be. We paid a price, man. And I'm saying this to all of us. God is going to judge us for how we handled his man and what did we do in this hour when it was our turn. I just don't want to be in that nope when they said, what did you do with your talent? I don't want to say, I hid it, I buried it. I want to say to the master, I multiplied it. I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we want to find, be found doing, Brother John. I thank you so much for giving me this great opportunity to share this little glimpse in history. I'm very honored, brother. Thank you so much, Brother John.
Thank you, sir. May Allah bless you, Cap.
Likewise. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. That was student captain emeritus, Brother Dennis Muhammad, CEO of the Peacekeepers, and he is present for peace. All praise is due to Allah. Let us move right on to our second hour, to our Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with is our brother, student assistant minister in protocol of Milwaukee on the line, Brother David Muhammad. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, beloved?
I'm fantastic. Thanks to Allah and His Christ. Yourself?
I'm on top of the world after that interview, brother. Captain Dennis, to talk about that history, brother. Wow. I got to go over this one again myself. Praise be to Allah. But thank you for asking, sir. Is our attorney on the line? The number one slayer of the enemy. Brother Kenneth Muhammad, are you there, sir? He didn't get on.
You got me, buddy?
Can
you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine by Allah's grace, brother.
Brother, it's good to have you on, brother. It's good to have you on. So many people, I get calls about yourself and Brother David, Brother Abel, and Brother Ray about being on the line. You do so much for so many people who are listening and studying the time and what must be done. I just want to thank you on their behalf, brother. I get a lot of inbox and calls about you all in this second hour of the show, so I just want to thank you on their behalf as well. It's Top Gun on the line, Brother Ray Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, Brother Ray, he didn't mute himself out, did he? Brother Rafi, do you see Brother Ray on the line?
No, sir. I don't see him on the line at all.
Oh, he might have got dropped off.
Unless he's calling from a different number, but I don't see him on the line. No, sir.
Okay, all right. Because we had him in queue, and he was just supposed to mute himself out until the second hour. All right. Okay, well, let's go right ahead. Let's go right ahead. Let's see what happens. Maybe we can get him back. All right, Brother David, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Brother, that part 20 was something else. Brother, what sticks out at you on part 20 of the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Well, let me read something. I had a chance to review it again, and you know, I've been listening to it, and there were several things, but the way that the minister led out the episode, when he said that all of us, the students of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, were now on Front Street. And so, to me, I took that, and what he said, that our dialogue must be elevated and not emotional or uninformed. Sometimes many of us get on the social media or we're interacting with the people, and they may be of a disposition where they're real negative or profane and real disrespectful. We don't even have to engage people like that if they're going to speak that way. We have a truth that can't be disputed because we're actually backing it up with facts, but it's furthermore backed by the Christ and God who is backing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which he mentioned himself about if you're going to stand on a truth like this in the face of the most powerful people on the planet today, the wisest of the Caucasian people, talking about the Jewish power that exists in the world today. If you're going to stand on that truth, God has to be backing you, and the Christ has to be backing you. So us as his students, we have to dig deep. And I love how the resources have been put on the NOI.org website. When you click to view the episode, you can click to the reference material. Everyone who's listening right now needs to do themselves a favor. After reviewing episode number 20, go and read the article by Brother Tingba Muhammad from the NOI Research Group, the Gazebo Group. Read the article, "The Jewish Talmud Separates Good Jews from Bad Jews." Some of us are getting caught up in our fervor, and we're not actually digging and discerning and parsing what the minister is saying. But this article right here is wonderful witness bearing. Everybody should really look at that article. It's called "The Jewish Talmud Separates Good Jews from Bad Jews." And if you dig in this article, you'll see exactly why the Talmud is condemned in the Holy Quran and why real Jews, just like the minister said, the way that when Muslims do something bad, they want Muslims to condemn them, or when black folks do something bad, they want what they call, I'm talking about the enemy, what they call responsible leadership to condemn them. Well, he called on those Jews who believe in the Torah, believe in Moses, to condemn the wicked actions of those Jews who have perpetrated and masqueraded as real Jews. We're talking about the synagogue of Satan.
Right. Now when you're talking about people criticizing, what are some of the criticisms that you're hearing, Brother David?
Well, you know, you have a lot of people who are bereft of the argument, as the minister has been talking about. But he mentioned it in episode 20 when people look at us and they wonder, wait a minute, you know, it's like you all have Jew on the brain. And no, we don't. What it really means is that we're following the example of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do in Message to the Black Man, which is study the operations of the white man because he's successful. He doesn't make excuses for failure. He works in a collective manner, and we are to do the same. Well, if there was ever a group of people, only 6 million of them on the planet, who work together in a collective manner, it is the Jewish people. And so we have to study how they got to this position in the world today, how they have collectively organized. But we're not going to do it like they did it. They're the most powerful of all the ethnic groups among white people or any people on the planet. But we're not going to compromise the law of God like they've done it. But if the people of God hold fast to the word of God and faith in this hour, then we can create power like they have. But instead of use it for evil, we can use it for good and create a world that is a true reflection of the people of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother attorney, what say you, Brother Kenneth?
Oh, yes,
sir. What sticks out at you, sir?
Yes, sir. You can hear me okay, is that right?
Yes, I can, sir.
Okay. Yeah, Brother touched on the main points that I was going to touch on as well. The very notion of this synagogue of Satan that the minister talked about is really what stuck out at me. And he quoted from the scripture where it talks about those who say they are Jews, but they are not, and how Allah God says he will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Before even getting into, you know, further discussion of that, as Brother eloquently alluded to, the principle that somehow, I guess the question that people have is, why are we even discussing, you know, Jewish people, who are Jewish people, and the actions of Jewish people, the actions of those who are true Jews, the actions of those who claim to be Jews, et cetera. This seems to be a central question, but I think for anyone who is a believer in God, the people who believe in God in the three monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam believe in the coming of God, believe in a judgment. And there's clearly a teaching of a people who are the choice of God and a people who Allah God has made a promise to. So it's not enough just to, you know, I guess for each community to kind of stick to itself in terms of what it its own teaching is without really analyzing the fundamental question, if there is a promise that God is going to come and do a specific work, choose a specific people, and that those people have specific enemies, and he's going to come in condemnation of some specific people, then it's not enough for people to go into their religious houses and talk among themselves about who they believe the choice is of God and who they believe the enemies of God are and just keep it among themselves. Either the scriptures are true or they are false. If the scriptures are true, then there is a choice of God and there is an enemy. And what the minister is doing is he's saying that there needs to be a showdown. There needs to be a moment that is publicized, that is viewed by the masses of the people, where scholars who really know the teachings of the various religions analyze who really is this choice of God, who really has been the enemy of God. And if the scriptures are true, which I believe they are, which you believe they are, which we know, those of us who are believers in the one true God know that they are, then we are asking the proper question to say, if it says those who say they are Jews and are not, where scripture, the entire foundation of both Old and New Testament are talking about a children of Israel and talking about a choice. And not only do you have the people who are the real choice there, but you have another people who the scripture clearly states are masquerading in the identity of those who are the real choice. They say they are Jews, but they are not. He's going to make them of the synagogue of Satan. Then it is a required question for any believer to ask, well, who is who? Who is the real Jew? What causes a person to be that? What causes a person to be among the children of Israel? What are the requirements? And what, and specifically, who are these people who are this synagogue of Satan? And it, why do we need to know? And what exactly is the role of this enemy of God? And if those questions are answered, what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is showing is that the world has been deceived. And if people have been deceived about the identity of God and about the identity of the enemy of God, then once that the facts are clarified and people know who is who, then the actions of people will change. The belief systems of people will change. And then people who are suffering right now will no longer suffer because they will have knowledge to stay away from things that they should have stayed away from that they weren't staying away from. And they will go toward things that are in their best interest that they have not gone, that they have not connected with previously. So this is critical. These are critical points to the lives of people that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is getting into. And it is improper for anyone to think that there is any kind of malice in the hearts of the members of the Nation of Islam for asking the question. No. This is a required question to ask, who is this synagogue of Satan and who are the true choice of God? And we believe and we know that we know the answers to those questions.
Right, right. Brother David, what say you? You have another talking point or you want to stay along this line?
I mean, there's so much. I mean, the minister went so hard in episode 20. It's like 19 was, you know, body shots. You know, I think the enemy hit the mat on this one. But, you know, the things that the minister said, particularly when he said this quote, and I thought this was very, very poignant. He mentioned a quote from a blacklisted screenwriter named Dalton Trumbo. In 1940, this man made a quote. It's in a book about the Catholic response to Hollywood. Hollywood made tarts of the Negro's daughters, crap shooters of his sons, obsequious Uncle Toms of his fathers, superstitious and grotesque crones of his mothers, strutting peacocks of his successful men, psalm-singing Mount Blanks of his priests, and Barnum and Bailey sideshows of his religion. He's not talking about BET. He's talking about Hollywood's depiction in the 1940s. But if you look at the control of Hollywood, the creation of Hollywood, even the first movie made by Hollywood, which was Birth of a Nation, which was, you know, the Knight Rider, what do they call it, the Knight Riders of the Ku Klux Klan, that's what the movie was about. All of this goes right back to the Babylonian Talmud's depiction of black people as the cursed children of Ham. And it's interesting to note that the Babylonian Talmud speaks equally disparagingly of Jesus Christ. And so there was so much that came up out of it. And then particularly when he went to the point of the American porn industry. And if I could just lift up a quote from an article that he referenced there, which was, and everybody, I mean, really, when you go to the NOI.org website, look at the research documents. There's an article called Jews in the American Porn Industry by Nathan Abrams that the minister referenced. But there was one quote in particular that shows this kind of, I have to use the term, inbred hatred for the word of God and any man who would come representing the word of God against this mindset, this cabal of control that's exercised by this group who is hidden behind the word of God. All right. He mentions in this article about a quote that said, here it is. Okay, this is from an Al Goldstein. All right. The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think Christ sucks. Catholicism sucks. We don't believe in authoritarianism. And thus pornography thus becomes the way of defiling Christian culture. And as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream and is no doubt consumed by those very same WASPs. And, you know, the term WASP is white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And, of course, as they go, we go, because that's who got us into Christianity as well. Its subversive character becomes more charged. Now, just a few weeks ago, the vice president goes before them and says, that it is because of talking about Hollywood in terms of attitudes towards the promotion of homosexuality and gay marriage. He said that it was Hollywood that leaned America's moral compass towards the direction of acceptance of that which is condemned by the Torah. So here you have a mentality that is rebelling in the same way that their father Yaqub did, rebelling in the same way that Nimrod did, and continuing to do so even up to this very date. And the man that would stand against it and speak against it and expose them for who they are is their enemy number one.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. Brother Attorney, what say you, sir?
Yes, sir, brother. It's interesting, listening to my brother, it's interesting that our people love Jesus. Our people praise Jesus. Our people sing about Jesus. Our people teach consistently about the fact that Jesus, that in order for a person to see the kingdom, that their belief in, their connection to Jesus is paramount, is critical. But yet, here is a community of people that many of our people feel a closer connection to than the connection they feel to Muslims, who do not believe in Jesus, who do not believe that he was even from God in any way, shape, or form. And yet, if you look at the way that a lot of our people interact with and speak of Muslims, who believe from the Holy Quran that Jesus the Quran speaks about Jesus as Messiah, and the Muslims believe in Jesus. They believe that Almighty God, Allah, that he is a messenger, a servant of Almighty God, Allah, and talk about him as Messiah, as I indicated. There is not a stronger connection with us where they have him as this critical person within their theology. It's just an interesting point. But from a theological standpoint, you never hear our people answering the question of how this actually came about and how this actually could be. How could it be, from a theological standpoint, that you have a people who people claim are favored by God, and they don't believe in the man, Jesus, who they say you have to believe in and you have to have faith in order to be favored by God? This is a theological disconnect. If Jesus really is as important as our people say and as the scriptures say, and God sees the connection to him in such a critical light, then how could it be that this people are held in such a high esteem in the sight of God without believing in him? And it's really a much deeper analysis that's needed from a theological standpoint in order to understand it. And really, if you were to take a step back, when I spoke originally, I talked about the issue: who are, what does it take to be a Jew? Now, Jesus talked about the Jew is not, he mentioned the Jew is not the Jew outwardly by the circumcision of the male organ, but the Jew is the inwardly by the circumcision of the heart. Paul spoke about that. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in going into that, he really spoke about the fact that the claim or the promise that was made to Abraham, that a person cannot claim the connection with Abraham simply because of a bloodline, simply because of a blood descendancy, but it is your actions that actually make you come under the promise of Abraham. That it's a much deeper question or issue as to who the actual descendants of Abraham are. I'm not trying to go into that necessarily right now, but it's just the point that actions are relevant. You cannot have wicked actions and yet say you are the choice of Abraham. Jesus said in the Bible, if you were the seed of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But he said, you are from your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So now, if our people love Jesus, Jesus is giving the standard right there. He's saying that it's not a blood descendancy, but he's saying it's your actions, what you do. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his brother was just stating, talked about the movie industry. He talked about not only how our people are depicted in the movie industry, but the immorality that you see that is pervasive, and the role of people who say that they are Jewish have in leading this industry and in leading this, the immoral aspects of this industry. You have, in all of the different professions, our people can go through things that they've suffered, and at the root of a lot of the deception, or really all of the core deceptions, you have members of this people who are in very powerful positions, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has pointed out, who say, if you ask them their faith and ask them who, you know, what community they're a member of, they say they are Jewish. So now, for him to say, this is who you claim to be, here is specifically how you are leading the world in the wrong path, in the wrong direction, in all of the major industries, in the medical profession, in the legal profession, in business, in world affairs, in the wicked way that loans are distributed, countries are taken advantage of that have less resources, the distribution and use of military arms, all of these various things. How can you be a people be at the forefront of these things and be at the forefront of it in a wicked way and then say that they are Jews when their actions are the opposite of the teachings of the prophets of God?
Right.
So now it goes to the core question. Well, who exactly is who? If the
right.
actions of a person are what identifies them and it's not blood descendancy, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is simply doing exactly what it says that the Jesus would do. And he's
okay.
identifying each of these different communities within the talks that he's been giving.
Okay. We got to move on one more. I think Brother Ray is in queue now. Is Brother Ray Muhammad on the line?
I'm like,
Wa alaikum salam, soldier. How are you? We got disconnected earlier. Sorry about that.
I'm absolutely great, sir. I'm glad to be back on the air with you, sir.
All praises due to Allah. Do you have a talking point that you would like to bring out? I got a caller in queue as well, 619. If you can hold fast, we'll get right with you. Go ahead, Brother Ray. What stuck out at you at part 20 of the time and what must be done, sir?
Well, I guess, Brother Jihad, first of all, let me say thank you again for allowing me to come on. And the first part of the show, when Captain Dennis, was given the history of the mighty
yeah.
FOI and the work that the FOI was doing back in the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So I guess the talking point this week changed drastically when I heard Brother Dennis.
So, yes,
Brother
sir.
Dennis, as a mighty captain, and me as a former captain, we kind of relate to one another, and it is the mighty men that backs the man of God that allows the man of God to do freely what that man is able to do. When
yes.
Brother was dealing with the fact of the Madison Square Garden, it just took my mind to the point when Minister Farrakhan came to Alabama, you understand, and those wicked Jews, the same way. Here is the thing, Brother Jihad, in the radio listening audience. Minister Farrakhan bust on the scene in 19, according to them, in 1984 for standing with a black man who decided to run for president. It was the same wicked Jews who are the synagogue of Satan who jumped on Minister Farrakhan and floodgated negative propaganda, tried to put death threats out on Minister Farrakhan. I forgot that cracker name at that particular point, asking who do you want, Farrakhan, how do you want him dead? Here is a man that's speaking truth, raising the dead to life, and these wicked Jews are going after him, calling for Minister Farrakhan's death, and he have not one time called, reciprocate that call. I wonder what would happen, Brother Jihad, if Minister Farrakhan decides to do to the synagogue of Satan, the Jews, the way what they're trying to do to him. I wonder what kind of turmoil in America would go down if Minister Farrakhan had that type of heart. And I'm with Brother Captain Dennis, man, because had they done to me what they did to Minister Farrakhan, I would have given the order to kill until we are satisfied. These crackers ain't going to understand anything but death, man. This man has been, Minister Farrakhan, have been lifted the banner of peace. He's a peacemaker all over the world. The man has gone for peace. And here is an organization, the Jews, the Synagogue of Faith, who is responsible for the porn industry. And they did that because it was bad, because Christianity was the religion of the land. So I'm going to show these Jews, I'm going to show you, I'm going to parade the American public in the world with nudity. nudity and provocative and all that foolishness. But here's a man, Farrakhan, putting the dress back on the woman. And you put taking the dress off. Mr. Farrakhan is teaching us how to be fathers and how to be good brothers and how to be better followers of God. And you going after this man. God damn it, there's a time that the men of the FLI, brother, look, Brother Jihad, I'm telling the radio listener, they have better leave the man alone. Because there's a group of us that are getting sick and tired of you going after our man like this. Foxman, come on out and fight Farrakhan in the public. My potentate, come on out and debate Minister Farrakhan. Let's cast the rod in the public and see who would win. But if you touch this man, Farrakhan, I'm telling you, goddammit, America is going to go up and smoke. That you can believe. So that's my talking point.
Man, all praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Brother Rafi, we have a call online.
Yes, sir. You got a 619 with a mic open and an 813.
Okay, 619. What say you, 619? Welcome to Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. 619, what say you?
San Diego.
Yes, my sister.
Sir.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine, just in enjoying the show.
Praise be to God. What comment would you like to raise?
I wanted to. The first part of the show was dedicated to the past, but I was listening to the first brother that spoke about who are the real children of God, and just dealing with that aspect of it, of the past and why it's so important. I just happened to read in the Restricted Laws of Islam this morning.
Yes,
something
ma'am.
About the past that the Minister Farrakhan shared, and he said that you can't see the past and you don't know the present and you can't vision the future because your brain is so messed up by living in a contrary world of Caucasian people who have caused you to think the wrong kind of thoughts because you are not feeding on the truth of Almighty God. You are feeding on the false teachings of the Caucasians who didn't want you to become the great thinking power that God wanted you to be and gave you birth to be. If our minds were properly fed, we could bring up the past, envision the past, envision the future, and bring into reality because you yourself are a product of the past, the present, and in you is contained the future. So it's very important that we establish who are the real children of God because we are not only establishing who is this, we are establishing the truth. And we cannot have a future if our thinking of where we came from is built on a lie. You only need a future when your thinking is built on the truth. Otherwise, we have no future. And that's why it's very important the time and what must be done in that we establish who we really are as a people and who they're not.
Beautiful, beloved. Oh, thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much for your call. Please call again.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes,
it's on page 10 of the Restrictive Law. Whoever wants to go read it.
That's page 10 on the Restrictive Law.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
813, what say you, 813?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother James Muhammad, the Brother Jihad. I wanted to extend the greetings to my beloved captain, Brother Captain Dennis.
All praises be to Allah.
And I tuned in rather late, but stood out to me, and I hope this background noise is not disturbing anyone, be as quick as possible. What stood out to me in the minister's installment of the lecture series, the time and what must be done, of course, is bold exposure and revelation of the man of sin and the synagogue of Satan. And I connected it to his previous lecture series, or the part one and part two of Who Are the Real Children of Israel? So what stood out to me is when he named the America as Israel and white people as Israelites, and we as the children of Israel, and that of, that prepositional word of, denotes ownership. And so what connected, what it prompted to do was to look at the violations of Israel, a tiny state Israel, of UN resolution. And I found out that there were 65 violations of United Nations resolutions imposed on that state. Yet, no reprimand, no consequence. And the power of these people is such that even though they were in direct violation of these resolutions, yet every American president has to go and bow to them, has to go and placate to them, has to reassure them and the people of America that no matter what comes or goes, they can always count on aid from the American government. This is to punctuate the truth of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, that the children of Israel are the black man and woman of America, and America, in fact, is Israel. And so that's what stood out to me, brothers, and I'm going to stop right there. I love this dialogue. And Brother Captain Dennis, I love you, brother, and of course, I love my other brothers who are on. I'm not sure exactly who it is, but may Allah continue to bless you in your bold defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
And all praise be to Allah, and thank you, sir, for calling this show. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, beloved. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother David, the wisdom that we hear, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, the wisdom that we hear on this broadcast has been kept from the wise and prudent men of the world, and is now given to us, the babes of civilization, to break the seal of this knowledge to the peoples of America and the world. What say you?
Well, I think that's the beauty of this, that God would find a despised and rejected people that no one else wanted, and he would make us his people, and that he loved us so much that he would find one from among us and raise him to his second self, to the right hand of God. He took a man who is the grandson of slaves, the child of sharecroppers, who only went to the, you know, some say the third, some say the fourth grade, but if you know education in the South, at that time, it might as well have been the same. And no one could claim that they taught this man, but God taught him. Master Farah Muhammad taught him. And what he gave us is a undefeatable, invincible truth. And so what he taught about the origin of the Caucasian people, that's being verified today. And it's funny because when you tell some of our people, they respond as though, you know, well, that ain't true. But when you look at the scientists of the white race, and when you see the Caucasian scientists, they're almost digging into every aspect that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught and verifying it for us. It is almost as though that the Caucasian people are proving before our eyes that there is no mystery God while we wasting time looking in the sky. They're out there doing. And I think that's one of the real powerful things about our study of the Jewish people. I mean, it really is a study as well as exposing the wickedness that is really arming itself against God, his Christ, and the people of God. But, of course, they'll fail. The victory is ours. But as we look at them, we should ask ourselves this question. If the Jewish people have this type of unity, and their unity is based off of falsehood, what kind of unity do we have? And we have a supreme, invincible truth that comes straight from God.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Brother Kenneth?
Yes, sir.
Brother, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, no prophet of God has been successful in unseating Satan and destroying the foundation of his world. It takes a God to sit down another God. So our exposing Satan is to say to the world, God is present in the world. What say you, sir?
Oh, it's a powerful question. In what Mr. Farrakhan is, is an analysis of time. And the title of this series is The Time and What Must Be Done.
Mm-hmm.
The critical point among all of this is to understand that from a scriptural standpoint, a time period was given to Satan. A lot of times our people will ask the question about how they've seen good, righteous people that seem like they could not get ahead in a lot of ways. They've seen wicked people who seem like they went got ahead in a lot of ways. They'll see nations that are wicked taking advantage of other nations that are not as wicked. And people ask the question a lot of times, well, where is God? What's going on? Why have things been like this? Well, the answer is that there has been a time period given to Satan for a very wise purpose. We can't get into that purpose right now,
mm-hmm.
but clear that that time comes to an end. Now, if a time period was given to Satan, then the prophets who come during that time period certainly are not going to unseat or defeat Satan because it's still Satan's time. And so the prophets that came were people who received revelation that they brought into the world where God knew that it was still Satan's time, but the message of these prophets, number one, served as a mercy for human beings that wanted to do right. Truth was present in the world, and humanity, particularly the civilization that's dominated the earth, has been guided to a certain degree by the revelation. But a prophet, these prophets have all been pointing to something that would come. That's why they're called prophets, because they're prophesizing about a future event. Sooner or later, you get to the point where you're not looking for a prophet anymore because you're not looking for someone pointing to a future event. At a certain point, you get to that time period where you reach the point where you have the man, the people, the time that all of the prophets were prophesizing about. Now, what they talked about was the coming of God. And at that critical time period, you're going to have, and we have, present God Almighty who unseats Satan. Now, the minister has talked from 2 Thessalonians a number of times recently about how that day, the day that I just talked about, will not come until the man of sin, unless there be a falling away first, and the man of sin is revealed. If Satan has been given this time period and he's been dominating, he can only dominate if he has deceived the people. And the ministers asked our people to question many, many times that if Satan, according to the scripture, is going to deceive the whole world, and you are in the world, is it possible that you have been deceived? Is it possible that your miserable condition has something to do with how you have been deceived? Is it possible that, because people have to realize, you only believe what you believe because either your mother, your grandmother, somebody in your household, you came up and this is what your people were doing, and so you do it. And the Holy Quran says that that's the response that most people give to messengers of God. They say, well, we found our fathers doing this, so I do it. So our people first have to come to grips with this very rational thought. Maybe I'm in this miserable condition. Maybe my people are because we have been deceived. Maybe my mother, my grandmother, the people that I love, told me something that wasn't altogether right. And that thought has to come first in order for a person to completely analyze what is out here in terms of truth. Now, God is real. And I remember when I got to a certain point, because I grew up in the church and that's what my people, you know, they gave to me. And I said a prayer when I saw that the pastors couldn't answer certain questions. I said it to a prayer, I said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said it like that because I was reading the Bible and I saw that's who their God was and that's how he was described at a certain point. So I said, whoever their God is, send me to whatever is right, because the preachers, the people that I was asking questions to, weren't answering the questions right. And so I'm just saying that to say that in your question, you're saying that these prophets have not been successful in unseating Satan, but there would come a time where one would come who is God, and that it takes God to unseat Satan. Well, we're in that time period right now. But the people have to understand that if a time period was given for Satan to rule, then that means whatever the mass understanding is of things, whatever the mainstream view of things is, then there is a very high probability that that is what Satan sanctions, because this is his time, and whatever the mass of the people are doing, believing, accepting, thinking is good, thinking is normal, the scripture says that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So if our people analyze this and say, you know what, maybe I have been deceived. Who are the real, who is the real choice of God? Then they would have a description of what that choice should be. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. It said the bottom rail would be brought to the top. It gives you pictures of a prodigal son. It gives you pictures of dead coming to life. It's always a people, a group, in a weak condition, in a fallen condition, who have nothing, who are brought up and lifted up into something. But now you have the commonly accepted view among the people that those who are running everything, who are in all the positions of power, all the positions of leadership, who say that they are Jews, that that's the chosen people. Well, that doesn't fit the description. So if our people sit back and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they will see that they themselves, the black people of America, are the very choice of God when they are trying to ascribe that to some other people.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Brother Ray, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Brother, come on and give us another talking point. You got about 5 minutes, and then we're going to close on out with Brother David. What say you, sir? Give us another talking point from the time and what must be done.
Well, it's quite interesting that Minister Farrakhan dealt with the 10 most influential, powerful men in the history of the last 6,000 years. And, of course, Prophet Muhammad was one, and then he said that Paul was number six. And as I begin to start reading some of the letters that Paul wrote in the Corinthians and in the Revelations and whatnot, had not been for Paul getting the message of Jesus out, then the Jews would have had more time to deceive the world. So not only is Paul a very influential and powerful individual, he's the one that gave Jesus' mission to the world and got Jesus' mission outside of that little small area of Palestine that Jesus worked in. Now, I only say that to bring it up to 2013, that Minister Farrakhan now, and Brother Dennis, again, I go back to him, because he mentioned the Million Man March. And during the Million Man March, I was state captain of the state of Alabama and was able to travel on many cities with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, those men-only meetings. And where it says in the scripture that Jesus spoke to the multitudes, I'm watching this with my very eyes, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan going and speak to the multitude, and it was all men, all men-only meetings that this man was doing, and then, of course, culminating in October the 16th. 1995, Minister Farrakhan, and of course I was there, nearly 2 million black men came out. So here it is, this man is feeding the multitudes. And when that man began to start feeding the multitudes like that back in, of course, like in 1985 when he took over Madison Square Garden, at that point the Jews and the enemies of Farrakhan had decided that we must do something to this man, lest this man have the whole world listening to him. You're dealing with 40 million black people, that's men, women, and children in America, and Minister Farrakhan pulled 2 million of the 40 million men out. That's an army in and of itself. In the United States military, they only have a little over a million, so now they see this man Farrakhan been a dangerous general, one who could electrify the masses and fire up the classes as well, and then with the call of words going out, saying, I want y'all to meet me at a particular area, not on a weekend, but on a Monday night. Now, Minister Farrakhan can now get on the airways and do a message to time and what must be done. So, yes, the enemies of Farrakhan, who represents the Messiah in this dispensation of time, the enemies of Farrakhan, the synagogues of faith, the wicked Jews, and again, I want to say this, for the record, we're not talking about all of the Jews because that's not what Minister Farrakhan is teaching us. But the Jews who are right, you should get together and condemn the wickedness of your brother. Opposed to you sitting back on the sideline, then you become complicit in the conspiracy to destroy Farrakhan if you don't stand up on what you know to be the truth from the Torah. Not the Talmud that the Jews decide to write and then reinterpret the scriptures. So these Jews who are okay Jews, I don't know if they're good Jews. I went to Minister Farrakhan to bestow the title of good on them. But those are the ones who are trying to follow the dictates, mandates of Moses, then they should again align themselves with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and condemn the wicked Jews and the synagogues of Satan, to these Negroes who are going to jump on the bandwagon and go after Minister Farrakhan. Yes, Representative John Conyers. Yeah, you shouted out how good Minister Farrakhan was, and the minute the Jews turn just a little bit of heat up on your behind, you condemn Minister Farrakhan. But that's what you Negroes do. And Minister Farrakhan, I ask y'all to go, you know, just sit on the sideline and allow, just watch this fight. Don't get in the fight lest you become a casualty of war. Because we're not going to let those of them who may be on the sideline jump in the fight, and then we don't get in the fight to help our man. You see, so the thing about it, Brother Jihad, and the radio listening audience, as Minister Farrakhan goes on, as the series is picked up, we got now 32 more weeks in this year. So that's 32 more times on a Saturday that we're going to hear from Honorable Louis Farrakhan, the man of God, the little Messiah in our midst. And then again, he's calling out Abraham Foxman. He's calling out all the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern, whatever, the Poverty Law Center, all of these wicked small percenters, which is the 10% of the bloodsuckers of the poor. Come on out and fight Minister Farrakhan in the public. But I think you are a punk, you understand, because you don't want to come out. You want to be one of those who want to start some mess and then hide behind and see how this thing is going to go. No, if you're big and bad, you got all the media on your side. You got the radio on your side. You got the Defense Department on your side. Hell, you got the President of America on your side. All of the power that backs this wicked world. And here's a man, Louis Farrakhan, standing up in your face and begging you to come out and debate with him, but you're too cowardly because you are a punk and won't come out and fight the man of God. I wish these crackers come on out and so Minister Farrakhan can slay them wherever he finds them with the truth that he has been given from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that was taught to that man by God himself.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you, sir. Brother David, what say you? You got 2 minutes, sir. Just go ahead and give us what you want from the heart. Just talk to us, soldier.
Well, you know, I think one of the most beautiful things I ever heard about the teachings was that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is Yaqub in reverse. And what this is showing us, God would give us an example of a people who would receive messengers of God and receive revelation. And it's a test for them to see how they act. But it's such a beautiful example for us because this is an open book test for us. We get to see another people in front of us who have received all these blessings and see how God deals with a people like that. So we need to know that Allah is with us. And even though our enemies in this world have power, God and His Christ are much more powerful. And just as they have done with wickedness because they have used their wicked wisdom, which is tricknology, we can use our supreme wisdom to make this whole thing all over again and undo the work of their father, the devil.
All praise and due to Allah. And Brother David, I saw the pictures on Facebook with yourself, Brother Abel, and Brother Tony, and the soldiers in Milwaukee. Brother, when did that take place?
That was Saturday and Sunday, and we did three events back to back in Madison, Wisconsin. We did a bilingual event, everything in English and Spanish. And the next day, Brother Abel, and this was all sponsored by Supreme Hits Boxing Team, our brother Marid Muhammad, and Pueblo Boxing, Brother Juan Muhammad from Houston. But then Sunday, he spoke at the mosque and gave a phenomenal lecture. When you get this lecture, you will hear something, and the brother is representing the minister well, praise be to Allah.
Absolutely.
After that, he went to the streets. The FOI went out there, and the people showed us much love. So we thank Allah for the example of our minister, the Honorable Minister.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. And to the soldiers out in Milwaukee, shout out to you. Well, that's our show, Brother Rafi. Let's ride. That's our show tip for tonight. We want to thank all of our guests, student Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad, student Assistant Minister David Muhammad from Milwaukee, Attorney Kent Muhammad from Atlanta, and Brother Ray Muhammad, Top Gun, Top Soldier from Atlanta, Georgia, for being with us tonight. Don't forget, this Saturday at 6 o'clock Central Time, The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 21, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Just go to www.noi.org. Also, this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, we got a treat in Chicago. Dr. Student Minister, National Spokesman, Minister Abel Muhammad will be speaking from Mas Maryam. That's this Sunday. Dr. Abel Muhammad will be speaking from Mas Maryam. Just go to www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, quote, "Study and accept truth and live by the truth and encourage others to live by the truth. Then be patient." End quote. To join the Nation of Islam and to find the nearest location near you, just call the National Center of the Nation of Islam in Chicago, Illinois. That's 773-324-6000. That's 773-324-6000. To purchase the Final Call products, just go to www.store.finalcall.com or call for media service 1-866-602-1230, extension 322. We love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we thank you, beloved sir, for the time and what must be done and for creating a universal dialogue around the planet on this subject of the time and what must be done. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan for the job that you're doing, sir. We thank you for your service, sir, and the line of Supreme Captains that you have succeeded. We know the job is not easy, but the FOI, we got your back, sir. Come on, soldiers. You know what time it is. Boots on the ground. Let's get them suits clean. Job. White shirts, bow ties. Get them shoes shined. Fast thinking, fast moving. Right down to the modern time. All general orders are in effect. May Allah bless us all and guide us and keep us. Until next time, Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.